It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home with a $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley here with you. Joe Rexrone will be along shortly. Nick Kieser with us today on the program as well. Nicholas, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Doing good. Did you get enough sleep, Robbie, after last night's game?
No, I did not.
Yeah, me too. It's okay.
I'm hoping Sunday to get some of that sleep. But quite frankly, I think I have – this is going to be a real, like, people listening and be like, oh, yeah, good for you, bub. I think I've worked now 20 consecutive days in a row.
Really?
Between this job and the NHL job. So, and
look at you.
Predators Radio. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
And people
look
are like,
at you.
Yeah, no, yeah. People will be like, yeah, way to go, Robbie. You've talked about sports in some form or fashion for 20 consecutive days. Way to go,
Shoot.
Bub.
I mean, look, you deserve a good old round of golf. You know?
That I agree with. And I think we're starting to get to the other side of the weather here. I think. I'm sure we'll have another, like, random snap here in, like, 2 weeks where it's 25 degrees outside. But it's March, man. I think we're getting to the other side of this thing. It's going to be in the 70s next week.
I would love to go to the driving range, honestly. My wife will bring it up every now and then. I don't know if Heather likes to go and do that, but we'll see. Maybe that's another little activity we can add to our itinerary this spring and summertime. I don't know. But
are you a golfer?
I mean, look, I haven't talked about it too much with you, but I mean, yeah. I mean, I enjoy it enough to where I could go play around. I'm a really good driver. I'm not good. My short game is absolutely terrible.
Okay.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, there was one time I hit into the back of a group when I was about 14 years old and my grandfather was like, I'm so sorry that he did that. So, you know.
No, it happens.
It'll
be all right.
Exactly. So, but anyway, I guess Joe Rexrode's lacking this morning, Robbie.
We'll see what happens. He's having some technical issues that he's working through. We'll see if he can get to the bottom of that. I know Rexrode and technical issues is a big shocker to a lot of people. So we'll see what happens on that front. In the meantime, we do have a lot to get into on the program today. We will be joined by Stilly at 7 o'clock. We'll get into what I'm sure has been a week of mourning for him on the Sam Darnold front after PK's report that the Titans may not be interested in him the other day. So we'll get into the Titans, NFL free agency, which is right around the corner. And also, today's trade deadline day in the NHL. We got a lot to get into on that front as well. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock to get into all things Tennessee Titans as well. But let's start there. So the Preds get another win last night. They went 5-3 against the Seattle Kraken. And that's now two games in a row that they've won, two games in a row where they've scored some goals and look pretty good offensively. So that's nice, a nice change of pace here. But the most important day of the week in the National Hockey League is today, where NHL trade deadline day comes. Now, there have been a lot of moves made around the league already. The Tampa Bay Lightning have been very busy. Predators have already made two separate moves in the past week involving three guys, with Nyquist being gone, now Novak and Shen being traded out as well. So the question is, what could be coming today? Is there any more that Barry Trotz wants to get done? Is there any more that Barry Trotz looks at and says, you know what, I still feel like I need to shake this thing up a little bit more heading into the offseason, create a little bit more cap space, whether that's a Michael McCarron, who, by the way, scored a goal last night. Now, Michael McCarron doesn't save you a whole lot on the cap space front, but I think it's $900,000 next year. But could he be in play? Could Colton Sissons, who's got one more year left on his contract after this one, could he be in play? You know, is somebody that we're not thinking of potentially on the block? And then, as Elliot Friedman pointed out yesterday when he was on with DVD, you never know what to expect from Barry Trotz. Could he go the other way and be aggressive and pursue somebody today who he feels like can be part of the answer next season? All those things worth keeping in mind today on NHL trade deadline days. We welcome in Joe Rexroad to the program. Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, this is a real problem. This is obviously time to stop using this damn computer. Very, very sad, but you know, it's my fault for having a MacBook for, I don't know, how long has it been now?
Half decade.
3 years. And being too afraid to make the transition. This computer is like my Commodore 64 in 1987 right now in terms of how well it's running.
I'm just glad you got on, man. I was worried about it for a second, but you made it. You powered through.
Well, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
We will. So NHL trading deadline day, I just kind of set the table of what's at stake today. You've already made three moves. You made some moves earlier this year. You know, you got some high-priced, big contract guys that I don't think are going anywhere today. You know, Frank Saravalli and others put it out there yesterday, Joe, that apparently the Devils are very interested in Ryan O'Reilly. Now, it's one thing to be interested in Ryan O'Reilly. It's another thing to put together a package that Barry Trotz will accept for Ryan O'Reilly. And I talked to Ryan O'Reilly again yesterday morning along with the great John Glennon, and he's made it pretty clear that he doesn't want to go anywhere. And he's had conversations with Barry Trotz over the last few weeks to that effect. He said that doesn't guarantee that I'm not going anywhere, but Trotz has talked with him about how he wants him to be a part of the future here. So I remain today, Joe, at 6:05 a.m. on NHL trade deadline day, steadfast in the approach that I would be very surprised if Ryan O'Reilly gets traded today.
Yeah. It is interesting that the Devils put it out there that they're interested, you know? So we'll see. I mean, is there a price where it's like you just can't ignore it anymore? Like, okay, well, that's just too good. I mean, that's just like, how do I, you know, an offer I can't refuse. I mean, I certainly, if I'm Barry Trotz, I want Ryan O'Reilly to be part of the future of this team. But, you know, you're also talking about a guy who's getting older. And, yep. You know, that one's interesting. I'd love to know what the conversation back and forth would be. You mentioned, you know, the Trotz possibly, you know, getting, you know, being a quote-unquote buyer as far as, like, you know, a long-term answer. Is there anybody who comes to mind who would fit that bill?
Well, I think it would probably be what we talked about a little bit yesterday, which was, what if Trotz does like Dylan Cousins and the Sabres make him available? Or, you know, in what I think is way less likely, because this kind of seems like a move that would get made in the summertime if it gets made at all. But like, if the Canucks are just fed up with Elias Pettersson and they realize they're not going anywhere and they want to sell on him, could you involve yourself in something like that? Like, I don't think Barry Trotz is going to involve himself with like a guy that's 34 years old and has 1 year left on his contract that he does feel like can help him next year. Like, but I don't think he's going to do that. I think it would have to be a younger guy that he feels like is like a long-term center. Like, that's really the door that I think I'm leaving open for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. And obviously one way or the other, that's what they have to address. So, obviously, as we talked about yesterday, Sissons, someone to watch today.
Yep.
McCarron, possibly somebody to watch today.
Those are the big two. Like, yeah. Beyond that, like, I mean, all their defense core right now with Josi hurt is, you know, a bunch of guys that were in Milwaukee at different points this year. So I don't think they're going anywhere. Brady Shea's not going anywhere. I can tell you that based on the contract and the way that he's played. Although he did play great last night, so good for Brady Shea.
Nice goal.
Yeah,
good job,
good
Brady.
Good for you for having the intern pick Brady Shea and Preds pick the click, and then he scores immediately. And it's like, oh, good. Rexroad's just running away with the competition. But, like, McCarron, Sissons, O'Reilly will get some calls, I'm sure. Beyond that, like, you've got Stamkos, Marchessault, all these guys that are high-dollared and highly paid and big contracts that aren't really – going anywhere. So it really, I think, comes down to probably those three at the middle of Sissons, McCarron, and Ryan O'Reilly.
I've seen some Preds Twitter conversation to the effect of, well, unfortunately, Trotz isn't going full rebuild, you know? And it's like, guys, like, that's not an option. Like, that is actually impossible to do, given where they are.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've thrown it out there before. I don't think they'll do it. I don't think they want to do it. But, like, there are some, so, you know, we talk about the high-dollar, high-priced, long-term guys. There are a couple of them you could move. Like, you could trade Philip Forsberg. There would be interest out there for Philip Forsberg, I guarantee it. Now, I don't think you want to do that. You could trade Roman Josi. There would be interest out there for Roman Josi. Now, he's hurt right now, so that kind of ends that. But, and like, in the offseason, if you wanted to really shake things up, you could do it. Like, you could trade Roman Josi. I think there would be interest. In Stamkos, at this point, with the production based on the pay and his age, I doubt it. Doubt there'd be a whole lot of interest. Marchessault, I don't know, but I kind of doubt it that there'd be a lot of interest, and there won't be in Brady Shea based on the way that he's played. So you could trade one of those guys in Forsberg or Josi. I just don't think there's going to be, nor should there be, really any appetite to do that.
And even if you, let's say you trade one of them, okay, you know, I mean, fine. And so that's more of a rebuild. But again, you still have an expensive core of veterans. Like, that's not changing. So you have to build around it.
I think what's going on now is pretty clear. And I think the Novak trade kind of fits into it. Barry Trotz has looked at the roster throughout. And I don't think this is just the last couple of weeks thing. I think he's looked at it throughout the year and has said, we got to churn this thing. Like, we got to, as much as we can, you got to really make this thing different for next year. Like, Bunting is a guy that is a different type of player than what they have. Now, it's not, he's not the guy that's going to get you out of your seat and overly excited. Like, he's good at retrieving pucks, winning battles, and then directly going to the front of the net. Like, they don't have a lot of those guys. So that's a different style of player. They've created some cap room where he can go out and make some moves this offseason via trade, via free agency, and bring in some new guys. They can't totally overhaul it based on where they're at, but I do think, you know, it's pretty clear that he's trying to create as much room as possible to kind of shuffle the deck around this offseason.
You say shuffle the deck, and I think of shuffle the deck chairs on the Titanic, but, well, maybe I'm just being a pessimist.
It could work out that way. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, regardless of, like, the different type of moves you make, future success next year is heavily dependent on, is this just a down year for Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady Shea, all your top guys that you paid a lot of money to, or is this a downturn in their career and they're not coming back from it? Like, that's what the future success depends on, is the answer to that question.
Right. No matter, I mean, there's a lot you can do to help.
Sure.
Or, you know, or different degrees of help, but that's still the core question. And I don't know.
I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, yeah, it's like, if you're doing everything you can, that's where, like, the coaching change becomes easy to see as a possibility.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. It is trade deadline day in the NHL. What do you want to see the Predators do today? And what are some big-time moves that could happen around the league as well? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning. It is NHL trade deadline day. Preds have already been active. They've moved Nyquist. They've moved Novak, Luke Shen. What more do you want to see from Barry Trotz and the Predators today, as the deadline is at 2 p.m. Central Time today? So I'm sure it's going to be a very busy day in the National Hockey League. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ryan in Mount Juliet. Ryan, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. Preds need I hate to say it, but Preds need to look to see where to get rid of Sissons. I know he'd probably be very valuable out there, especially with another year on his contract. Kill's going to say it, but see what the market is with Big Sexy. I know it won't be much, but there are teams that could use a fourth line, third line guy like him for the playoffs. And just honestly, the only players I wouldn't touch are O'Reilly, Stamkos, And Marchie, if you can get a team desperate enough for Brady Shea, I mean, I'd see what he's available and see him do it. But otherwise, that would be probably my list of people who would touch. I mean, if you have a team desperate enough to take Soros, I mean, let him go. I mean, look at the way he's performed this year, and there's no telling if he bounces around next year. I will say about Stamkos, you were saying that maybe he's on down thread. He had the same issue with Tampa a couple years ago. He had a very down year, not as bad as this year, but he had a down year. And then the very next year, he popped off 40 goals and almost 80 points.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ryan. I mean, Stamkos has had some ebbs and flows in his career, Joe. Now, I would argue that in an 82-game season when he's fully healthy, and injuries have been a big part of his career, but when he's fully healthy, he hadn't really had an ebb and flow like this one. I mean, you know, I look back to, I think it was the 19-20 season. He played 57 games. He had 66 points, 29 goals. He battled a bunch of injuries around that time. You know, he came back in the playoffs that year when they ended up winning the cup. And, you know, he scored the big goal in the cup final in, like, his first game back. But he had a lot of injuries that he was going through. And it was like, all right, is Steven Stamkos, like, going to make it through this part of his career? And he did, and he came back. Problem is now he's 35, and that's the question. Like, at 35, is there a bounce back coming? Well, clearly, Joe, I mean, you know, I said this on July 2nd, the day after that they got all those guys, with Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady Shea, but specifically Stamkos and Marchessault. Like, Brady Shea is kind of separate from this discussion. You know, it was an exciting day. We talked about it. I loved it. But I did say, like, somebody's going to end up being right, and somebody's going to be wrong, right? And, like, clearly Tampa Bay did not want to commit the amount of years or the dollar amount to Steven Stamkos that he wanted. Otherwise, he'd be back in Tampa Bay. Jonathan Marchessault did not get the years or the dollar amount that he wanted. Otherwise, he'd be in Vegas. So they made decisions to move on from those guys. Regardless of how you want to slice it, that's what happened. Like, they made decisions to move on from those guys. And somebody's going to be right, and somebody's going to be wrong. We're 1 year in, so it's not like you can judge the whole thing yet. But so far, the Lightning and Vegas are right, and the Predators are wrong. We'll see if that changes at any point.
Yeah, and then when you throw in Shea, you know, it's just amazing that all three would be this disappointing. You know,
right.
And I'm not saying the exact same degree of disappointing, but like the fact that like none of the three were like what close to kind of what you were hoping for. Yeah, that's kind of why we're talking about, oh my God, the Preds, you screwed up by winning last night. What are you doing? You need to have the most chance possible of being at the top of the draft.
I mean, they've looked great the last two games. It's like, man, what's going on out there?
Oh boy.
They played their best game of the year against Boston on Tuesday, and then they followed it up last night. They got scored on 32 seconds in. And I was like, here you go. All right, they're back at it. And then they just turned it on for like 40 minutes, Joe. I don't think they were out of the offensive zone the whole time.
I mean, I got to say, like, this time of year, you get the Preds, no matter what Preds team we're talking about, you get them to this time of year and they seem to play well. Right now, it's a bad thing. Stop doing it.
On the Sissons front, I am interested to see how the Predators view him, because there will be some interest in Sissons. Like, he's a veteran guy that can play in a lot of different situations for you, that is cheap and has one more year left on his contract. So they're going to get some interest in Colton Sissons. What will it take for Barry Trotz to actually pull the trigger and do it? And is that something that he's interested in doing, or does he view Colton Sissons as a part of the answer? Like, it's, you know, it's kind of the same thing to a lesser degree with O'Reilly. Like, it's one thing for other teams to have interest, but you have to have interest in trading them if you're the Nashville Predators. Does he actually have interest in trading Colton Sissons? Same thing with Michael McCarron. I think you'll probably get some interest in him too, given how cheap he is and there's another year left and the role that he plays. So there's going to be some interest in those guys. What's it going to take for Barry Trotz to actually pull the trigger?
For a long time, I think I've appreciated Colton Sissons. You know, I mean, I think that he's just been a really solid player here for a long time. So, I mean, is that a guy that you also, I understand that O'Reilly is a little bit more of a better player, but I'm just saying in terms of like the locker room presence type thing, you know?
Yeah.
Is Sisson's a, you know, like an a quote unquote identity player to the point where you're like, yeah, you know, it's more valuable to keep him for the next few years than to get whatever you're going to get from today.
Yeah, I think a lot of this, Joe, is just going to depend on the offer. Like I said it yesterday, there's an idea out there, and we'll see. I don't know if I necessarily believe it, but there's the idea out there from some that Michael McCarron could fetch you a second-round pick. Like, to me, I like Michael McCarron a lot. I really do. But if somebody offers you a second-round pick for him, I think you got to do it. Like, I think you've got to make that deal if you're Barry Trotz. And look, that's another hole that you create in your lineup at that point. But it is a fourth-line center. Like, you should be able to go find a fourth-line center if you're Barry Trotz. Matter of fact, like, I think in a perfect world, if your lineup is structured at forward the way you ultimately want it to be, Colton Sissons probably is your fourth line center if that's like in a perfect world. So I don't know if I can see, I don't know if the Predators are going to trade both of those guys. Like, to me, I think you may pick one and then next year you ride it out with the other one that you keep and they're here. So, but maybe not. Like, maybe the offer is so good on both of them that you can't turn it down. I would just personally have a tough time turning down a second round pick for Michael McCarron.
Yeah, and I think just his youth and his size, he would fetch more, right? I just feel like Sisson's one of those guys who like could be more valuable to you than he is in general as a player.
Yeah, I think so. And look, Sisson's kind of is like that playoff guy, right, that a lot of these contenders look for in terms of, all right, he can play center, he can play wing, he can penalty kill. Like, if you're really in a pinch, he can play on the power play. Like, he can do a lot of different things. And people love those type of players this time of year. Plus, he's really cheap, which also, you know, helps.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, and I could see him going somewhere and helping someone make a run, which would be, well, I mean, I guess that would be very on brand for the way things are going in the league right now. Predators fan out across the league. And
well,
has Tommy Novak had his hat trick yet?
They play tonight, I think. So I think he's making his Pittsburgh debut tonight.
Bring your cheap hats, Penguins fans.
I mean, I'm kind of hoping for a line of Novak, Tomasino, and Cody Glass.
Yes.
I doubt we're going to see that line, but it would be pretty funny. It'd be like that. You know, they've got Shen back there too, so they need the Predators to trade him a defenseman today. Or Jim Diamond talking about this, and just get an entire lineup out there of Nashville Predators.
And Soros.
Yeah, well, you know, Ryan brought that up on the call earlier. They're not going to trade UC Soros today. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that one out there. They're not moving on from the goaltender today. Real quickly, Joe, around the league, you know, some big trades have already happened. Tampa's been aggressive. Brock Nelson of the Islanders last night got traded to Colorado. So there's your second line center if you're the Avalanche. And by the way, in the middle of all this happening with Brock Nelson last night, Cale Makar put up 6 points, and Nathan McKinnon put up 5. So
sure.
There you go.
Bless you.
Thank you. Had to sneeze real quick. Also, Mikko Rantanen, looks like talks are ongoing between Carolina and Dallas for the services of Mikko Rantanen. So first off, what a great turn of events for Carolina. You make the trade for the guy, and now, like, 3 weeks later, you're having to think about trading him back somewhere else because he won't sign with you. So it looks like Rantanen could end up going to Dallas, but I think it's contingent, according to Friedman and the other insiders, on a long-term deal being done. And as of this moment, that has not worked out yet, so we'll see what happens on the Rantanen front.
So does Rantanen just really want to just torment his old team? He just wants to get back over here and just be hell for the Avs as much as he can?
I guess so. Just like, I will not sign in Carolina, but I will in Dallas.
Wow, that's wild.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for the Hurricanes.
I kind of do too, but like also, and like I think Marty Natchez, who was traded from Carolina to Colorado, was talking about this yesterday, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's probably something you need to figure out before you make the trade as to whether or not he's going to sign a contract.
It's true.
So we'll see what happens on that front. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll keep you updated throughout the show on the NHL trading deadline and obviously any moves that the Predators make. We will have you informed on that as soon as they happen. Coming up next, a decision, I think, that's been made in the NFL. We'll see how it plays out. That just stuns me with its stupidity that we'll get into coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. We got a lot to get into with Stilly later in the program. Joe, an interesting development with the Cincinnati Bengals. Trey Hendrickson has apparently been granted permission to seek a trade. Now, it is worth pointing out that just because you've been granted permission to seek a trade does not mean that a trade will happen. Does not mean that after, I guess, gathering some information of what your market looks like out there and all those things and bringing it back to Cincinnati doesn't mean that you can't get a long-term deal done at that point. But Trey Hendrickson is a guy that, granted, is 30 years old, but has also, Joe, led the NFL in sacks over the last 2 years. He had 17 and a half sacks in 2023. And what did he do last year in 2024? He followed it up with 17 and a half sacks. Two consecutive years with 17 and a half sacks. By the way, on a defense that, aside from him, was pretty atrocious last year. So I said this when they made the decision, Joe, to tag T. Higgins. Is that really the smartest idea? Like, is it really the smartest idea to invest money in T. Higgins? And they're theoretically trying to come to another long-term deal with him. We know they're going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase. They're already paying Joe Burrow. Does it really make sense when that organization to really go all in at wide receiver if it means you lose Trey Hendrickson? We talked about that earlier this week. And here we are a few days later, Joe, and he's apparently out there seeking a trade.
Well, and I guess, look, I'm going to – we got Mr. Fake Cap coming up here at the top of the hour. I'm also going to say, look, you can make it work. Yes, you're going to have to – you have to – if you're going to sign everybody like this or you're going to sign a certain number of top players, there's some mid-level guys you'd like to have that you have to move on from. That's where the cap shows up in its reality. But my God, I'm gonna go to Warren Sharp here at Sharp Football. He had an interesting tweet about this. He said, "You know, the Bengals and Eagles both signed their QBs to extensions in 2023. Since then, one Bengal has been re-signed to a contract over $40 million. That's Logan Wilson. The Eagles have signed 8 players to such contracts: AJ Brown, Landon Dickerson, Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith, Jordan Mailata, Zach Bond, Darius Slay, Saquon Barkley." And this just goes along with, by the way, I'm just going to continue because Warren Sharp has this great rabbit hole of, like, for example, you know, the team grades that came out. Bengals cafeteria ranked deemed worse than prison. Dead last in taste, dead last in freshness. They don't even get 3 meals a day. Just for an example of, again, an organization that, you know, Brian Callahan came here and he was like, yeah, you know, he's used to, I mean, you coaches in the off season, you coaches are scouts. And in July, by golly, we're going to clean up this facility and you're going to show up early. You're going to put a fresh coat of paint on the building. And, you know, it's just, I understand, like, I guess Mike Brown is like, he's only worth like $900 million, which does make him the poorest owner in the league. But still, like, this league makes you tons of money. The, you know, the value of the franchise has skyrocketed. You are going to be rich beyond your dreams because you own an NFL team. You can't be this cheap.
Well, and you know, to that point, like, I understand from a salary cap standpoint, they can make it work. But clearly, they don't want to do that. Like, they don't want to spend to that level.
Right.
So, if you're not going to spend to that level, does it not make more sense to prioritize Hendrickson over Higgins and let Higgins go so you have something on the defensive side of the football? I don't know. Like, I understand you got Joe Burrow. You're going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins is a really good player, but I would rather have Trey Hendrickson right now to, like, for next year's team and the year after that. I'd rather have Trey Hendrickson than T. Higgins.
If anybody watched Cincinnati play last year and watched them play defense last year, and then imagine Hendrickson not on that freaking defense. I mean, yeah. we're talking about just it is almost melted butter. It's not hot butter. It's like almost melted. It's just like non-existent. You don't make the choice. You pay your players. But I agree. If you're going to make a choice, the choice would easily be Hendrickson over Higgins. Is this just deferring to Burrow? Could you believe that it's more important to him that he keep both of his top receivers? I mean, maybe. But like, if I'm Joe Burrow, I'm also sitting here like, oh my God, so I got to score 48 a game to get a dub? Because that's about what it's looking like right now.
Exactly. And again, like, I guess until they come to a long-term deal with Higgins, you can leave open the idea that, I mean, they could trade him, right? Like, they've tagged him, but they could end up trading him at some point. And I guess until Hendrickson finds a trade, you can't just totally bash Cincinnati yet. I saw that story yesterday and was just like, if you end up losing Trey Hendrickson out of this, is it really worth it? Like, is it really worth what you're doing? They're in a really interesting spot because it's 2 years in a row of them not making the playoffs. Obviously, 2 years ago, Burrow got hurt, so that's the biggest reason why. But then last year, he's healthy the whole year, and he plays great for the most part down the stretch, and your defense was so bad that it didn't really matter. Like, there's a ton of pressure on that organization next year to get back in the mix. You can't have one of those guys at quarterback and not be in the mix in the AFC.
No, it's hard. It's mind-boggling to me that you could screw it up like this. And I look at the Bengals and it's just like I feel like they aren't deemed the poverty franchise that they should be deemed. And that they basically, because they got, you know, they got lucky with Joe Burrow. Burrow and Chase, obviously. I mean, Chase, but those are, you know, you're at the very top of the draft. In a lot of years, like, you just can't screw that up. This may be a year where you can screw up the top of the draft. But like in those years, you know, it's like obviously Burrow, and then it's like Chase or Penei Sewell, and yep. You're not screwing it up either way there. Right. So they lucked out. To be crap, to be total buns when they were, but like, I mean, they have not done something as bad and as stupid as their rival Cleveland Browns have done. But I think they should be regarded in the same way. And I feel terrible for Joe Burrow.
You know, you could fix that cafeteria grade if you're Cincinnati by just going to get some at Skyline Chili. You're right next to it. Just bring it over there and serve it. I'm sure NFL players would love that on a daily basis, particularly like in August when it's 98 degrees outside. Get some of that in there.
I mean, I know you're being sarcastic. I'll sit there on the hottest summer day in the middle of, you know, Columbia, and I will eat a vat of Skyline Chili.
So I will, too.
Okay.
I just want to make sure. I had some a few weeks ago in Orlando, Florida. It was beautiful.
Now I really want some.
It was great. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Some interesting thoughts from Charles Robinson on our program yesterday on a variety of different fronts. We're going to start on the Darnold front. I thought his take on Darnold, very interesting. We'll get into that. We'll get into Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, all that coming up. Stilly will be with us at 7 o'clock. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Like, that's what I wonder is if, you know, Darnold does have kind of a soft market, but there's a team that doesn't really have any other options and gets desperate, then it's a little bit of a different situation. I don't think Paul Kaharsky's wrong. I think PK's right. I do think that you know, it depends, like, where the number is. If all of a sudden, you know, Darnold's number is much softer than people thought, then maybe there's, you know, a conversation where they entertain potentially signing him. But
that's Charles Robinson on our program yesterday discussing Sam Darnold and what his market could look like as free agency opens up next week. And Joe, Charles seems to think that based on people he's talked to, that maybe the market for Darnold will be a little bit softer than we thought heading into free agency in terms of how many teams are willing to entertain the idea of giving him, you know, 3-4 years on a deal, somewhere in the neighborhood of $40 million per year. Could he come in significantly less than that? And if so, what does that do to his market? Does that make it more likely for him to end up back in Minnesota? Could other teams that maybe aren't in the mix with him at a certain number get in the mix if it comes in lower than expected? I thought interesting stuff from Charles yesterday. What did you make of what Charles had to say on the Sam Darnold front?
Yeah, I mean, everything that we're seeing, including just the Vikings decision, adds up to teams in this league don't think Sam Darnold is worth even 40 a year at this point. Now, again, it just takes one, so maybe, you know, the Raiders talked themselves into that. I'm gonna believe. I can't come up with, and maybe, you know, maybe Mr. Stiffy, I mean Stilly, will tell us at the top of the hour, like, you know, why the Titans are lying about this. I can't really logically find the reason for the Titans to lie, and just, you know, it doesn't.
I think it's the five stages of grief.
Yeah. So, but Charles, you know, Charles left the door open there too. Is the market soft enough? Soft, hard, yeah, you know, whatever. Soft enough that, you know, that is that what it, I guess it'd be a soft market or a what? It wouldn't be a hard market. It'd be a robust market.
Robust would be the word.
Okay, robust would be the word. Yeah. You know, but if is it soft enough that the Titans can you would decide to get in there? And, you know, I mean, maybe, but I'm a little bit surprised. I'm a little surprised that the Vikings, obviously they had a good sense for things, because when they did this, you know, I assume, like, there's no way that he would ever, you know, that it's very unlikely he would circle back to them. But maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just going to be a 2-year deal with them, and then you'd have this really interesting situation with him and JJ McCarthy. If I'm the Vikings, that's what I want, because now you feel great about the rookie, but he's coming off an ACL, but he's the future. In the meantime, your present remains strong. And then, you know, look, if Darnold keeps building on last year, then maybe at some point, either you're just doing the Packers plan and you're, you know, sorry, JJ, you just have to sit for a few years, or you could deal him. I mean, but that's why I was like, okay, well, if that's what they want to do, then of course you tag him. Well, they didn't tag him because apparently no one thinks Darnold's even worth 40, and 40 in this league is not much.
I was going to say, I
quarterback
mean,
at all.
That is the one thing about this that is interesting. I mean, the cap is going up pretty significantly every year in the NFL. We're seeing what the quarterbacks are kind of flying off the board for, whether it was Jordan Love, who there was a lot of disrespect thrown Jordan Love's way by Stilly yesterday. Whether it's Jordan Love,
oh, yeah?
Whether it's Trevor Lawrence, whether it's Tua, like all these guys making more than $50 million a year. Goff, he's making more than $50 million a year. So that's kind of the going rate right now for a quarterback that's out there seeking a deal. Now, I say that, Baker Mayfield came in way under that when he signed his extension last year, right? So Baker Mayfield had been in Cleveland. It didn't work. He bounced around after that to the Rams and the Panthers and all that. And then he came in, had a good year for Tampa Bay, and his longer-term deal was pretty manageable. Is that the way it works out? I think it's like 30-something a year, right, for 3 years for Baker Mayfield. Is that where Sam Darnold ends up winding up here?
If I'm the Titans and you could sign him for, okay, again, let's say it's a 4-year deal for 120. Wait, no, I'm really good at math. Yeah, 4 times 3. Yes, 4-year deal, 120, 75 guaranteed. I think it would be crazy to not do that. I think that, because again, 75 guaranteed. Okay. So again, basically you're committing for 2 years and then you can do whatever at that point. And if it works out, you've got yourself a price controlled quarterback who, again, if he plays like he did last year, you would have a guy who is, I would argue, better than some guys who are making $20 million plus more. And again, like Prescott's at 60, right?
Yeah.
Then he is a year. I just, you know, if you could get him for 30 flat, I mean, my gosh, Tannehill got the 30 deal, 5 years ago. And that was a good deal. That was a great bargain.
And that's why one of two things here I think is interesting. Like, either the Titans have looked at Darnold's film and they agree a lot with what Charles was talking about yesterday, which is the film is maybe a little bit worse than people think that it is looking at it. Maybe the Titans agree with that. Or maybe the Titans deep down are like, yeah, I'm not really worried about Sam Darnold because we're drafting Cam Ward at number one. Like, you know, like maybe that's just the plan, is they're going to draft Cam Ward at number one and they're not really worried about the rest of these quarterbacks.
Maybe. Wait, has Cam been in yet? Cam's been in?
I don't think he's been in. I think it may be today.
Yeah, so, I mean, how do you – but that's the thing. Like, how do they know? I mean, this has got to be a huge day for that, right?
You would think. I don't know. Maybe he blew him away at the combine.
Yeah, I guess. So maybe they're just – maybe they're having him in today to just show him apartments.
Yeah.
You know? Talk about where he will be living in Nashville.
You wouldn't believe how many Cracker Barrels we got around here, Cam. It's unbelievable.
Let's introduce you to our Cracker Barrel representative, Robbie Stanley. He will tour you with all of them.
You wouldn't believe it. It's just an unbelievable amount they've got around here. I don't know. Like, I'm with you in terms of if the money is not going to be, even if it was as expensive as we thought. I mean, we never got into the 50 some odd million a year with Sam Darnold. So if it's like 40, I thought that's worth considering if you're the Titans. If it's less than that, then I think it's to just dismiss it out of hand is the one that kind of weirds me out a little bit on this.
Yeah, and again, I mean, Charles did – I watched those games. He was bad. He had bad – you know, he had bad help, didn't have help. He was under duress. But some of the stuff he was talking about, which, again, Charles is hearing these things from personnel people in the league. So clearly some people were scared the heck away from those last two games. And again, I'd love to see just the alternate reality of he was good and they lost, but he was good. I think it would be a totally different conversation potentially around him.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jared Stillman will be with us coming up next. We'll help him sort through the five stages of grief on the Sam Darnold front. Plus get into the Predators and the trade deadline and what the Preds should do today as the deadline comes up at 2 p.m. Central Time. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.